I'm Alexander Agunis. Welcome to No Direction and Everyman Gaming's special event, Season's Beatings, a Yuletide Terror actual play podcast. I've gathered Louise, Param, Jason, and Vanessa together to experience the joy and magic of the holidays in a way that only Pathfinder players can, in deadly combat against horrifying monsters. In Season's Beatings, I'm going to be running these fine players through Yuletide Terror, a holiday adventure that I wrote for Everyman Gaming LLC. Without further ado, let's return to Yuletide Terror. You're on the train as it travels through the countryside.
Yeah.
Excellent job. So as you come in, Budson tells everyone to sit down and buckle up as the train moves. And, all right, Budson exclaims merrily as he paces up and down the aisle in excitement. Don't look so dour. It's ill becoming of such young faces. We survived. Perhaps there's hope that we'll win the day yet. I hadn't want to put false hope in a motley crew of youths and regress strangers, but you handled it to those rats and their pets. But alas, I am getting ahead of myself. Allow me to explain. The demiplane that we're trapped in, the Crindleworks turned Krampus Knight, has no way out. Entrances to and from the plane is completely controlled by the plane's controller, and right now that person is Krampus. If it came down to us versus it, Krampus would annihilate us. Any hope of the lot of us besting it in a fair fight is a wild dream fit only for the hearts of babes. However, that doesn't mean that our chances of victory are lost. It seems as if Krampus is using the Krampus Knight to prison and punish those who have irritated it. And if that's true, there's no bigger prize for the brute than Saint Nicholas himself. Krampus is powerful, but its sadism makes it predictable, you see. I'm sure that Saint Nicholas is here, and if we can free him, he'll surely be able to save us from this wakeless nightmare. But I can't do this alone. We'll need to work together if we're to have any chance of escaping this place alive. So, what will you say? Will you help me do it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know you will, Biddle. You're kind of built to do this. But what about the kids?
As a servant of Odin, I will be glad to lend my book.
All right. Let's see. Is there anything that I can answer for you that might give you a bit of insight onto the situation?
Well, about how long will it take us to get to where we're going?
Probably about a day and a half by train.
This is a really big place to be inside a bag.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not inside... You mean Krampus's bag, correct?
Right.
Oh, no. It is not inside Krampus's bag. It's its own plane of reality. It's actually, from what I understand, it's located inside of a snow globe in Valhalla. But I'm not sure if that's true. That's just kind of rumor. That being said, it is as big as needed, and I think it's roughly the size of one of your kingdoms, like in its full scope, which actually is rather small for a plane.
Well, that beats my plan. I was going to try to get to the edge of it and pull a seam loose.
Oh. Do you have any other questions?
Can I take a nap now?
Well, yes. This train is fully stocked with plenty of commodities. If you want to look around, you can perhaps find useful items that can repair you. The train itself consists of a total of, he counts on his fingers, 9 cars. There's the train itself, which is piloted by the Iron Golem YEU-3535. It's quite a powerful creature, but don't expect it to help us after it's done. Its primary designation is just to drive the train and make sure the train is safely on track. Currently, where we are in is the company car. This is where you can sit and be comfortable, and it's a good place for meetings. And there's a bell on each seat that you can ring that will allow you to get a food order taken. When was the last time you children have eaten?
Does candy count?
I don't
count?
Remember. Yeah.
Does what count?
Candy.
No!
I've been chewing on this sword, for hours now.
No, absolutely not. You should make sure to order something to eat. One car back is the dining car. There are tables and chairs there if you'd rather eat there instead of your seats. Usually, our menu consists of traditional Yuletide foods, like candied ham, turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, and sometimes some extravagant extravagancies. They're mostly for the kids. I don't know if you'd be into them, but you can try if you want. And of course, you children, he points to the actual kids on the other side of the train, you can eat whatever you want. One car after that is the night car. The night car is outfitted with tons and tons of beds that you can sleep and get comfortable in. And yes, before you ask, they're outfitted with special technology that'll allow you to like actually rest in them.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And I say technology as if it weren't some actual like demigod magic. and then the one car behind that, the fifth car, is the metal car. You're not going to want to go there. That's just lined with like cooking equipment and supplies. A lot of our food stuffs are in that car. Behind that is the storage car. That's where all of St. Nicholas's presents for good girls and boys are. And some coal. There's always coal. You're welcome to look in the storage car for any equipment if you will need it. And finally, the final three cars are present cars. They just carry giant loads and loads of presents from place to place. You see, St. Nicholas's bags are tied to these cars where presents he can pull out of them. It's kind of like a neat bag of holding trick, but instead of opening to, you know, a bag of holding, it opens to a plane where there are present repositories. So we travel and bring the presents to those repositories. Or at least we would have, but you know, Yuletide is probably ruined for this year.
Oh no, never. We'll save it.
If we can save St. Nicholas and make sure that the world doesn't get plunged into darkness, I'm sure that'll be a good Yuletide present.
Mm-hmm. Well, if those trains are linked to the bag, where's the bag right now? Maybe we could like go into and then try to climb out?
I misspoke. We bring the presents to the repository. The repository is linked to the bag.
Oh. Okay.
The repository is in Grindelwald Square.
Well, that's not helpful right now.
Sorry.
Well, we're not, you know, being attacked by every single thing that moves.
That's
we
right.
We are sure that none of this stuff is going to try to attack us, right?
Pretty sure.
Okay. If something moves funny, I'm going to smash it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I need a nap. She goes and tries to smooth out some of her fur, which is like matted looking, and around where the seams are, it's all threadbare looking.
Oh, that reminds me. Biddle, here's your stuffing back, and I pull it out of my ears and hand it back to you.
Oh, thank you. She grabs it, and she starts to like stuff it back into her arm where there's like a little bust at the seam.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to put it back in there.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what's your first plan of attack, everybody?
Sleep.
All right. So you open the back door to the car, and you start heading back to the night car.
Mm-hmm.
When you get there, the night car is very... it's a very plush car. It looks like it's designed for sleeping. The beds are nailed to the floor. And it's kind of like if you've ever seen Harry Potter, how like there are private compartments. It's in the trains there for the Hogwarts Express. It's like that, except when you open the door to look inside, instead of benches, it's just a bed. And so like you hop in and the whole room is just a bed. And there are like shelves and stuff.
Okay. Biddle jumps on the bed and then all of a sudden starts rapidly shrinking down to the size of a little tiny teddy bear doll and stops moving.
Oh no.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to put Fuzz Fuzz next to Biddle.
So as you get up and you put Fuzz Fuzz down, you feel like a spectral force lift you up by like under your armpits, levitate you a couple feet off the ground, and then like the blankets pull back and it literally puts you into the bed between the stuffed animals and tucks you in, and a nightlight turns on.
Adorable.
Okay.
I will also take a nap. Sleep.
Where are you going to go? There I'll are go six cars in this room.
I'll go to another one.
Okay.
I'll private car and just curl up and sleep.
All right.
With the book.
With the book next to you. Yeah. What are you doing, Winori?
I'm going to the dining car first and getting some food.
That's a good call. What are you going to order?
Oh, a bread bowl of soup.
Oh, right. It comes out and it's like a really festive looking bread bowl. And like there's a little like it's probably like a chowder. You know, great for keeping kids warm on cold summer nights. There's little like ham and there's cheese and little vegetable cuttings in it. It's very, very tasty. The thing that's funny that when the food comes out, the plate is just levitating itself. With your use of magic, it looks like this entire car is outfitted with unseen servants that deliver food and probably is what tucked in Orn.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, that leaves Biddle. All of them are done. All right, so the kids are going to go, and most of them are going to, like, about half of Keely and Raisa and Asarin are going to go. Seeing the number of beds that are left and that you guys have kind of taken them, I mean, Biddle and Orn are sharing one. Rangvald is in one by himself. Renori takes one to herself. And Isarin and Raisa take one. And then there are two others, but the three boys don't really like want to be alone right now. So they all kind of hop in, and because of how wide these cards are, it's like each car is almost like a king size bed. So, yeah, it's pretty comfortable. You guys spend the next 8 hours sleeping and getting up, eating. You can order food from the train car. You regain class abilities as if you'd rested for a night, and you heal hit points as if you had a regular bed rest, so one per hit die.
Mm-hmm. I need to check in the morning. I definitely want to check on our dragon friend.
Mm-hmm. When you get up the next morning, you find that you must have slept completely peacefully because like you are still perfectly tucked in. The dragon, they've kind of pushed some tables aside, and he's kind of laying down in the dining car. Mm-hmm. When you get in, there's a whole bunch of unseen servants with like food, and they're just like dumping it into his mouth. Yeah.
I want to shake the dragon and see if it wakes up.
You're that kid with the candy sword. I saw you through the Rat King's eyes. I know who you are.
You do?
Uh-huh. You're the bear boy.
Who are you?
Hello, bear boy. I'm Belivar.
Belivar.
Uh-huh.
So
I used to be really big.
Did the mean fuzzy monster put you in a bag too? Is that why you got little?
Yeah, it was a really big bag. They had to do a thing where a whole bunch of people went around and they were wearing like weird robes and they were chanting, and it was really scary, and I was trying to break out but I couldn't because it's really strong, and they somehow got the bag to be big enough to put me into it, and now I'm here. And he gave me to the rat guy, and the rat guy put the rings on me, and the rings made me do what the rat guy said, but then you broke all the rings.
Great. But there's something wrong.
What?
You're not wearing PJs.
Dragons don't wear PJs.
Everything here that seems to. Even the bear. They put the bear in PJs.
You mean what bear? You mean Biddle?
Yeah, Biddle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Biddle's a great bear. Biddle is always wear clothes. Biddles wear clothes. That's what they do.
I thought Biddles hug things until they stop bleeding.
Right, but they need to wear clothes.
Also,
it's part of that.
Also true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where so what's Biddle? Your... Biddle's asleep, or she was. She got really tiny.
Oh, Biddle bears do that, too.
Yeah. What else do Biddle bears do?
Well, Biddle bear usually just stays with St. Nicholas because she's a Biddle bear of very little brain, St. Nicholas used to say all the time. But other Biddle bears that aren't called Biddle, but just other Biddle bears, St. Nicholas would put them on shelves to watch kids to see if they were good.
Mm. Are there a bunch of these Biddle bears? We could use an army of Biddle bears.
Well, they all don't have Biddle's power. Biddle's power is why she's a Biddle bear of very little brain.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've seen, but when she uses her power, it really takes a lot of toll on her.
See, that's unfortunate, because like if we could have like a legion of Biddles, then there would be no chance for Krampus.
But then she wouldn't be a unique special bear like she is.
But then she'd have all sorts of friends.
Biddle has plenty of friends, just most of them are dead now.
Oh.
Don't tell Biddle I said that, she'll be very sad.
Okay, I'll make sure that Biddle does not hear that. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
I'm feeling a lot better.
We're going to go try to, like, you know, save the world and St. Nicholas.
Ooh, you're going to save Nicholas?
I'm going to try. Oh, good. It'd be really good to have you help, because you bit really hard. It hurt.
I can fly really fast, and I can do a little bit of magic. I could do a lot more when I was big. Like this, I can't. But I can do a little bit of magic.
What kind of magic?
I can make it harder to hit me by making magic shields and stuff.
Oh, that's useful. Well, we better go make sure that the others are awake.
I would, but those doors are awfully small. I'd have to squeeze, and the train is moving awfully fast. I think I'm just going to stay here and keep eating, if that's okay.
Okay, just don't eat too much. They seem to get upset if you do.
No, but if I eat more, maybe I'll get big again.
That's a good idea.
If I keep eating all of this, and I mean, it's a Yuletide car. There's plenty of food. I'll just keep eating, and maybe I'll get big enough.
I like this plan.
I used to be really big. I was bigger than this whole train.
Mm-hmm. Then you best not eat too much, because then you won't fit in the train anymore.
Well, I mean, if I was bigger than the train, then there's probably not enough food in the train to make me bigger than it. That's Predator 101.
That's math stuff. I don't understand that.
That's okay. Someday you'll get big and you'll understand too, boy.
It's a real meeting of the minds here.
So what are you going to do, Ragnvald?
I'm you know, waking up in the morning or whatever, after sleep, and praying to Odin to help us out of this mess.
As you do, a little table tray floats down from the ceiling as if, like, by magic. Its legs set up in front of you, and there's, like, a very healthy porridge breakfast in front of you.
Ooh, I'll eat that as well. And make sure that, ask for guidance from Odin without actually casting any kind of weird divinatory spell or anything like that, but just basically, like, All Father, we are trapped here, and we'll do our best to rescue your servant, St. Nicholas, and I hope that you can give me the strength this time to destroy, or at least hinder, the Krampus.
Amen. Sounds good. What are you going to do, Renori?
Well, I'm going to talk to Bartleby for about an hour to try to pick up my spells.
So Bartleby can kind of, it's like the empathic link is still there, and it can still give you its spells, but like if you were able to talk better than that with it, it definitely can. It is it is basically a stuffed toy now.
Okay.
So you basically spend an hour talking to a toy.
Yeah.
Enjoy. So the other kids kind of get out, looking really tired and sleepy, and they kind of move themselves into the dining train and have breakfast. Wesley is really excited to see a gold dragon that's, like, not trying to eat him. That's great. So is Keely. They ask it lots of questions, and very quickly they figure out that, like, this is not a dragon that is super ancient or wise. it's a dragon that's probably the equivalent of someone of their age.
Yeah.
Through talking with it, you kind of figure out that it sounds like he was probably like an ancient worm before this happened.
Wow.
He got taken down far, but where it seems like your guys' minds weren't impacted, it seems like he might have taken a bit of those nasty wisdom-based drain from dying in the plane, which seems to affect your maturity level, as you've seen with Ornn.
How's our plan working?
What's your plan?
I'm joining the dragon. We're trying to eat until we're big again.
your tummy gets really full, and your pajamas get a little bit on the tight side because of it, and it doesn't seem like you're actually like getting any bigger, but you get really tired from all the turkey you're eating.
Well, this will take a while. You have to eat a lot.
I mean, clearly you have to eat, like, I don't know, 10 years worth of food to get that big again. If you have more questions, you can ask them to Budson, or if there are other things you want to do, you can let me know. But in the meantime, when you guys are ready, tell me.
I'd like to take a look at some of the presents, if there any of them are for us.
Sure.
Basically.
Sounds good. You go down into the present car, and there is dozens of boxes wrapped tightly with colorful paper, and there's an entire stack that has the four of your names on it.
All right. I'll make sure to fetch the others and bring them back. Like, everyone, look, presents.
Mm-hmm. as you open them up, the first one has a bow, one has a belt, one has a pair of gloves. They look kind of like kids' mittens. Mm-hmm. One of them has a sword that kind of looks like Ornn's, but it, instead of being a big great sword, it's a one-handed longsword. There is a ring, two pearls, two tightly wrapped scrolls, and two wands.
Wow.
Are you ready, Louise?
Yep.
Give me some spellcraft.
Got a 21. The bow
is a +1 seeking short bow. Dun, dun, dun. Treasure is always so much fun. You fought so much stuff and gotten no treasure until now.
Okay, next roll is a 26.
It is a belt of giant strength +4.
Ooh.
Whoa. Keep going. 25.
A set of first aid gloves.
Whatever that means. All right, 29.
First aid gloves are the best.
29, there is a quiver that is in a package that is filled with a dozen +1 holy arrows.
Oh, boy.
Shit. And that's when Keely goes, that stuff is going to get bad.
First aid gloves. I was just looking at what first aid gloves do. That's pretty awesome.
28.
The peppermint candy cane longsword is a +1 transformative frost longsword that can transform into any one-handed slashing weapon, but all of them will have a festive Yuletide appearance.
How many things remain?
There is a ring, two pearls, two scrolls, and two wands.
Ring is a 34.
It is a ring of X-ray vision.
Oh, hey.
Interesting.
No one ever gets those. This first pearl is 30.
They're both pearls of power for first level spells.
Okay. I'm the only one that can use those. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think. No, I can do it because no one else is prepared. All right. I got another 30.
Yeah, Keely is prepared.
Yeah.
The 30, they are two scrolls of restoration, and they have a 1,000 gold material component.
Scrolls tend to do. I forgot that you're prepared because of your book. All right, yeah. And anything else?
Two wands.
Wand number one is a 27.
It is a wand of cure serious wounds with 25 charges.
Ooh. And second wand, 33.
It is a wand of lesser restoration with 29 charges.
Wand of restoration.
Okay. Lots of healing. I wonder why.
Oh boy. we also have that belt of dexterity from the Rat King. We didn't decide who was going to get that.
Nope.
And all the stuff. Yeah. Treasures.
A lot of stuff. Now, all of my dear viewers and listeners, you get to watch the most fun part of any Pathfinder campaign: treasure allocation.
Who's going to get what treasure?
Belts of Dex. I need a new belt.
What's it?
If no one else needs the Belt of Dex, Biddle is very interested in it.
Take it.
Excellent.
The head of the belt that you use to clip it, as you put it on, it turns into a jingle bell.
Aww.
A little silver jingle bell.
Cute.
I am obviously interested in the big boy belt.
Yeah, get that big boy belt.
Oh, wait, I forgot. She already has a belt that she would rather have. Never mind. I forgot I had a constitution belt.
Oh.
So, yeah, someone else can use this.
She's like, oh, I can't wear both belts.
I can't wear two belts, apparently.
I mean, I'll wear it because that'll help my AC a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You put it on and the jingle bell turns into a raven head.
That's more like it.
A very stuffed, cartoony, like your slippers, raven head.
No. Mm.
All right, so are you giving the big boy belt to Orn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Orin puts it on, the belt head turns into a big cartoonish young boy looking teddy bear head.
Listen, it's
got to match your ensemble.
Yeah. Is it plus two dex belt?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the next item you guys are giving out.
Who can use the bow?
I could probably use it. I'm probably trained
it
in all that
a
stuff.
Seeking short bow.
Short bow. Mm-hmm. I don't know what seeking does. I'm not very dexterous. I'm not terribly good at it.
You just got a better at dexterity.
Yeah, slightly better. It's my armor class 1 by 1. But I'll hold on to it if no one else wants to hold on to it.
You could give the bow and pull the arrows to the Inquisitor.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah, I'll put that in my stuff.
Okay.
How many holy arrows?
There is a dozen, yeah.
A dozen.
You have the peppermint longsword that you could give out.
I'm not super neat. That's not super useful for me.
I'm not sure if... I don't know if Inquisitors get longswords baseline, so it might not be super useful for anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with my book.
Orin's like, no, you gotta use the sword instead.
No.
That's funny.
Well, I mean, I've seen him try to hit things. I'm kind of encouraging the bow option.
Hey, now, I'm going to be worse at this. I'm going to be worse at it.
So that leaves the first aid gloves and the ring and then the scrolls and the pearls.
Biddle's got two rings, so she can't use those. The cloak is a resistance plus one she could wear. But that's probably, of what's left, that's probably the only thing, I think.
Do you have gloves?
Yeah, but I can do Breath of Life now anyway without them.
Mm-hmm.
True, mm-hmm. But...
Mm-hmm. So someone else should probably have those. I'm guessing based on the number of times Orin has fallen unconscious, it should be someone that's not Orin.
You have fallen unconscious quite a bit. Luckily, the second one wasn't death.
And looking up Inquisitors, they are not proficient with long swords unless it's their favorite weapon of their deity, but they are proficient with bows, short bows, long bows.
Nice. Then give him the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bow. You could just hold on to the sword. Who knows, Orin? Maybe you'll get grappled and you'll need a long sword to free yourself.
That's not how that works. I don't think you can use a long sword when you're grappled.
It's a one-handed weapon, right? You can totally stab somebody.
It's not a one.
Yeah, long sword.
I thought it was a light weapon.
You're thinking of Swallowed Whole.
Maybe.
When you're Swallowed Whole, you can only use light weapon.
Okay, I was thinking of that.
Delightfully and delicious. All right.
Why everyone
so what's this weapon called again?
It is a peppermint blade. it counts as a +1 transformative frost longsword. And you can change it into any other weapon of the same general handedness that you want. So if you want it to be an axe, it can turn into an axe.
Oh, well, then, Jason, you could turn it into, like, a little hand axe or any sort of common one-handed weapon if you wanted. But I guess you love your book, so.
It's my book. It's magic.
It's the Peppermint Morning Star.
You know what, if...
feel the spearmint frost damage.
If everyone is going to poo-poo on this sword, since it's transformative, Biddle will hold it for a bit, and until it turns into a cool holiday-themed glove with little jingle-jingly bells all over it.
There you go.
A cestus, but yeah.
That's funny. It's Punch Bear.
Yes.
I mean, with the frost enchant, it might actually do some damage if she hits somebody with it. It's better than her bite.
Yeah. It's a true story.
I'm just now thinking her hugs got aggressive.
It's got real aggressive.
So that was +1 frost and transformative, right?
Correct.
All right, cool. So between that and the cloak, she's feeling pretty decked out.
Nice. Is there anything else you guys want to do, or are you just going to wait to get to the Crindle Works?
Was there anything else that we needed to divvy up that someone should have? Who between Renori and Rangvald, who has those new mittens?
Oh, yeah, mittens. Look at them again.
I have other mittens I have to wear, so.
Oh. Right. I don't have a hands thing at the moment.
Oh, you should definitely have them then.
All right, I'll put them on.
They're very cute. They're like those mittens where like they're knitted out of wool and they go up to like your second joint on each of your fingers, like right before your fingertips, and then they have a part like that goes on the back of your hand that you can flip over and cover all of them like real mittens.
Right.
And they're very high tech Christmas mittens here. Mm-hmm. And I think first aid gloves have like rubies on each knuckle, right?
First aid gloves.
Sapphires, technically, but yeah. I bet you can just probably say any old.
They are jingle bells.
Oh boy.
Little silver bells.
So you've got 10 little silver bells.
Yeah. They whisper so quietly in a sound that only those who truly believe in St. Nicholas and Yuletide can hear.
Oh, good.
In other words, you're not going to have to worry about making stealth checks or something.
Right.
Okay, that's good.
Little jangling around.
I will take the scroll and the wands and...
Load me with magic, Chien.
You can take those pearls.
Yeah, and the pearls. All right.
So, Renori, if there are any wands that you want to give up that might give Biddle some more offensive power of a different nature, she can use wands.
I don't have any to give up because I haven't gotten them back yet.
Oh, that's true. Okay, well, you keep all this.
That's funny. Oh, right.
Yeah. Where did the ring go?
The x-ray ring.
Oh, yeah, the x-ray ring.
Oh, I have the one wand of fireball that we found, if you want to see.
I mean, only if you have something else. I don't want to take away your options. If you're, like, overloaded with wand.
My thing is debuffs, not really attacking, so...
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you don't want it, yeah, then Biddle will take the wand, and she'll put it in her spring-loaded wrist sheath, and she'll trade you for the Scroll of Breath of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, rather, she'll just put the wand in a pocket and give you both the spring-loaded wrist sheath and the Scroll of Breath of Life.
Okay.
Nice. All right, so you guys do loot. It takes you a little bit of time, and you just kind of hang out. And about 3 hours after you wake up, you're eaten, fed, all that good stuff, you're rested. Budson says, "We're approaching the Crindle Works. We should be here soon. All right, we should probably talk some strategy." The Yuletide Express lurches violently as if something massive had landed atop of it. Seconds later, Budson starts running up and down the aisles, screaming and shouting frantically. "We're under attack! We're under attack! Batten the hatches! Hide your valuables! Grab your swords and spell books and wake up if you're sleeping! Hurry! Go, 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 go!"
Yeah.
No.
As you do, the storm suddenly gets worse on the outside, as if something made of snow were on top of the train, and you hear the sounds of the cars starting to freeze together.
Oh, boy. Oh, what's the easiest way to climb up on top of the train?
Well, between any of the trains, there are hatches, but it looks like the two that we're around are completely frozen over.
In that case, the easiest way is teleportation.
Do you have teleportation?
No.
Then I guess you gotta climb.
Okay.
Try further back.
Oh, okay.
Kids, you should probably stay here. I should probably stay here.
Yes.
Do the windows open up?
They are completely frozen shut.
Nah. Okay.
All right, back we go.
So you guys go to the back
dragon
train.
Friend anyway.
And Belivar is like, "Hey, what are you guys doing?
We're smashing stuff. Come help."
"I want to help." He goes over to the train. "This one?"
Yeah.
Well,
he pokes up and he roars and there's ice all around it, but he smashes through and kind of squeezes his body. Look, I'm as fast as the train. And he's flying up like next to the train as it's moving like a couple hundred feet around.
Do you see anything up there?
Yeah, there are big guys made out of ice. Oh, and then he like does like a barrel roll and you see like a big snowball like almost hit him.
Oh no.
That's bad. I'm kind of bad against that. That's really cold.
Let's get up there.
Yeah, let's get up there.
All right, stay safe. We're coming to help.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, right. So it actually looks exactly like this. This is actually the view of the top of the train. So you guys kind of climb up over here, and you see that there are icy creatures all over the trains. The ones on the further cars from you don't seem to have responded to your presence, but the other ones are like, hey, there are children here. Children must be frozen today. And so then with that,
I don't see anything. Oh, there they are.
Yeah. It takes me a minute. I gotta get them ready. Boom.
Oh goodness. That was not where I expected to see those.
Yeah.
Roll initiative.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna do that. That's a thing that's happening. Oh, that's a really bad number.
So same.
Listen, I understand. Bad. You just really want these guys to do well.
That is
you think... what we all will do.
I told you. Listeners and viewers, I am just telling it like it is. They really want these guys to do well.
I feel bad for all the rats we just rolled over so easily.
Yeah, all of them. I know, you're just like, man, we crushed all of these rats, and all the troops. Now we really just shouldn't be allowed to act as quickly as we did.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so let's see what we got. This is way quicker than you, Orn. You have no idea how something that's made out of ice can move so quickly, but here we are.
Did we have to be on this car in this particular formation?
Oh, wait, hold on. I have... Oh, these are separate tokens. Which one is which? Oh, this is so confusing. Oh, wait, I just put my mouse over, and that's the old Orn. That's the old Biddle. That's the old Renori. That's the new Biddle. That's the new Renori.
Yep, that's why I clear the turn order after every combat.
Gotcha. All right, so this one is just super fast. Ragnvald, how did you do so well? Tell me the secret to your success where everybody else failed.
What do you mean? I did. I got a 6.
Oh, that's the old Ragnvald. My bad.
Oh, yeah.
Ragnvald of Days of Futures Past was really good.
Yeah, well, when you roll natural 1 on initiative...
Oh, my gosh, all of these numbers.
Natural 2.
Look at you. Oh, my gosh, you guys. What are you doing? Stop rolling so bad.
We're going last. That's what we're doing.
So, for those of you who are listening, they are currently fighting on top of this really splendid-looking train. The countryside is moving by them at incredible speeds. And you can see that the track ahead is actually not that great. You might be a little in a bit of trouble, but I will wait and talk about that more when it happens. The first big ice monster thing, he is going to look over these children and be like, meh, whatever. And he is going to move 5, 10, 15, 20 feet to here. And he's just going to punch the first kid that he sees, which is Renori. Renori, how do you feel about a punch that with an attack roll result of an 18?
That's a hit.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're going to take 9 points of physical damage from the blunt impact of the slam, and another 4 points of cold damage for a total of 13. In addition, you have to give me a fortitude save.
Oh, no.
All right. Luckily, that went up this level.
You did it.
That could mean much when I roll a total of 13.
You succumb to the numbing cold. You are staggered for 1 round because this thing is frigid as frigid can get. So with that, this one is kind of snarls. Does anybody speak Aquin?
Aquin, ew.
Nope.
It kind of moves up there, and it looks like it's trying to like get into a point where it can fight, and it just can't. It's like trying to reach over and grab Renori, and nah. Renori, you're up.
I think I'll delay for now.
Okay. It's the other one's turn. It's going to just scooch up, and it's like, oh, man, there's a big, scary gold thing there. Oh, I should roll for him, shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that put him in there.
Yeah, no, you guys are going to need this guy.
Mm-hmm. Burn him.
All right. So, got to flip back a couple pages. I apologize, everybody. Oh, hey, he rolled really bad, too. This works out good. He also was not ready for this. He's going to go immediately after this one, though. So he's just going to slam the gold dragon, because, of course, if you're an ice elemental, you always go after the guy who's weak to cold. But it looks like the ice elemental might have missed him. That's going to be a... No, no, that first one missed, second one hit. So it's going to do some damage to him. Sorry, I'm like flipping between three pages. All right. So Belivar is going to take 10 points of regular damage and 9 points of cold damage. With that, it's going to be his turn. And he delays until after Venori. He's like, what should I do?
Breathe on him. Burn him.
It's Venori's turn.
I think Luis is still... Are you still delaying, Luis?
No, I think I will... Well, yes, I will still delay, but free action at the end of my turn. Tell him to, hey, breathe some fire on these things.
Oh, okay. Do, 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 do. And he goes, do, 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 do. You can't really get there without provoking, so he's going to take an attack of opportunity that hits him. He yells, ouch! You know, the physical part isn't bad. It's the cold that kind of stinks. Let's see. He passed the first one. Oh, yep, he passes that one, too. It looks like he's not succumbing to that cold thing that was hitting Renori.
Oh, good.
So he moves over there, and he kind of points his breath weapon so that it is going straight ahead but to the side like that. Mm-hmm. The idea is that he's going to try to catch all of them because they're so big without breathing any fire on you, because he imagines that his new friends wouldn't like to be set on fire. What do you guys think? Is that a good choice?
Yes,
good
please choice. Don't set us on fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they are going to try, the elementals are going to try to dodge this. The first elemental passes, the second elemental rolls a natural 1, and the third one rolls a 12, so he fails. So this guy all the way in the back away from you, the one who's like not in the fight, mm-hmm. is going to take half damage. The other ones are going to take full damage. You guys are lucky. You never actually got to see what kind of breath weapon he has. The answer is that he does 6d10 points of fire damage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll some fire damage. Do, 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 do. All right, so 2, 3, 8, 13, 19, 22. They seem to take more than that. They start melting and flailing about. He's like, aha! My fire is melting them! This is a great day, indeed. Next round goes to Rangvald.
All right. Okay.
Do you want to pop in now?
Yeah.
Pop in.
I only have a standard. So, how does moving across the rooftop work exactly?
It's slippery. You need to give me an acrobatics check. And if you want to jump from this car to the other one, you have to give me an acrobatics check. Also, the train is moving almost 200 feet around. So, if you're going to do that, leaving the ground for any reason is automatically going to shunt you backwards because you immediately slow down after jumping. And the train is going to move without you. Mm-hmm. You think that life will be really bad if you fall off this train.
Okay. Yeah. So flying is not really...
If you can move as fast as a dragon, you can absolutely do it.
Last I checked, I can't.
Right. Also, a snowstorm is raging around you. It is imposing a -8 penalty on perception checks on things that are not on this car in your immediate vicinity, and a -4 penalty on ranged attack rolls, except for ranged attacks with siege weapons, which you probably don't have. Finally, if you jump, you are going to get pushed towards the back of the train, and it seems like the train is continuing on its course, oblivious to the fact that there are children fighting on top of it. for a good feel of how this is, think of Polar Express, where the kid is like jumping from thing to thing on the top of the train for some unknown reason.
But okay. Less terrifying than Polar Express.
I mean, the Polar Express... Elementals.
I will then... sure wish I had my extra move action. All right, so I will attempt to hop... No, I won't do that. That's dangerous. That's too dangerous. That's scary. Instead, I will just give the one who attacked me an evil eye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. What kind of evil eye? Is that the roll twice one?
Attack roll.
Okay.
Penalty and DC 18.
Oh, right. So the attack roll penalty, DC 18, is going to roll a 17.
All right.
Your evil eye. Rangvald, you're up.
All right. I am going to hold my book aloft and it's going to burst into flame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give a couple smacks to this ice elemental thingy right in front of me here. By the power of Odin!
Nice.
Here we go. 21? Is a 21 hit?
A 21 is going to hit.
All right. Second hit. Ooh, even better. 26.
Also hits.
Cool. All right. Here, I'll flaming's 1d6 fire, right. Or extra fire, yeah. Right? Okay. So it's 4 fire and then 9 bludgeoning cold iron damage. First hit, and then 1 fire blit, and 14 bludgeoning cold iron damage on the second hit.
That's a lot. It shatters.
Oh boy.
Nice job.
I did it.
It took 33 damage from the breath attack.
I'll do it.
I helped do it.
Good.
Yeah. Also, the fact that fire was multiplying was really helpful as well.
Yeah.
Orin, you're up.
Okay. I'm probably going to provoke from this individual here.
Yeah.
I'm going to move to here.
Okay. He is going to swing at you. Mm-hmm. He's going to miss you.
Okay. And then I'm going to power attack cleave both of those jerks.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So question, if you kill the first one with a cleave, I know you cleave into the second one. Would that also trigger cleaving finish and giving you another attack?
It should, yes.
Oh, man, this is going to be scary, everybody.
All right. First hit. Critical threat.
Roll to confirm. It's an elemental, so it's immune, so never mind. Don't do that.
Oh, okay. And the second hit is a 28.
28 will hit, but why don't you roll damage for the first one so that we can see if you get another attack?
Okay. 30 damage.
Okay, it is not dead.
Alright, and the second one will take 28 damage.
28, okay.
My new damage is 2d6 plus
22. Holy
Christ. Biddle, you're up.
Merry Christmas.
If ever there was... Santa was great. If ever there was a time for a wand of fireball, now is it. So Biddle's going to reach into an inside pocket of her big armored coat and pull out that little wand and swing it around and blast them with it.
Good luck.
Bombarda. All right. What was the DC on the save?
It would be 14. 14.
Okay, great. Good. I'm glad you guys remembered.
So the first one passes, the second one passes, so they both take half.
Okay, so instead of 32 points of fire damage, they're looking at 16 points, which...
But they're vulnerable.
So, yeah, so that should be 24 points of fire damage. Yeah.
Both melt.
Fantastic. Yeah, she airbursts it off to the side here just to get them to...
You did it.
Off the side of the train. Boom, big explosion of fire.
Yeah, and they fall over, and you watch as they hit the ground. They shatter into a billion pieces.
Excellent.
All right. So with that, you turn around, and you see that the train is about to enter a tunnel.
Uh-oh.
No.
Reflex saves, please.
Uh-oh.
This is bad. Oh, wow.
Oh, pretty good, too.
Wow, indeed. 28.
A 28 passes.
23.
23 passes.
20
passes.
Nat 20.
Nat 20 passes. So what happens is you enter the tunnel and you duck down as the ceiling goes down overhead and you pass through the tunnel. It's like maybe... if one of the large creatures could did it, they would have to squeeze now inside the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the tunnel is going to be about half a minute long. You can sit there and you can either heal up, you can just sit there and cling for your life. Whatever you do is up to you. You could try to jump to the next car. There's no snowstorm inside here, so you can see that there are two more elementals over here. Let's find out what happens to them, actually. Do they pass?
Oh, yeah.
That first one passes, second one fails. Ooh, that's not good for him. You're about to see what happens when you fail this check. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oof.
6, 10, 28, 30, 35. All right, so it takes 35 damage, but that's actually not all the damage it takes, because... the tunnel does 24d6 damage.
What?
What the hell?
Yeah. Well, you're running. It's essentially like falling into something at 200 feet a second.
Oh my goodness. So, gracious.
Yeah, it's actually you really don't want to fail the check for the tunnels, guys. I cannot iterate that enough. So I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna roll these 12 d6s again. Oh, that's more fives. That's all five. It shatters, and you guys get smattered with snow.
Oh.
All right, but
what about our dragon friend?
He actually doesn't go in; just flies up and around.
Right, so we don't have dragons in the tunnel.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, I'm not. Well, he actually waits a second and like trails behind you.
Okay.
And is like, I don't think I'm gonna come up there until this is done. This looks bad. You guys can see up ahead that there's actually like an even bigger, nastier looking ice elemental in front. So let's see if that turns to snow. Yeah, there's actually, believe it or not, but there's actually a very low chance that like this gets rolled, and you guys are just really lucky. You get to watch what happens when.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I'm wrong. I thought this was large. This is actually a huge creature. Yeah, so it's basically.
Can it even fit?
Just barely. okay. So, by the way, in case people at home want to see what the art looks like for this is what it looks like. Yeah, he's a very happy ice elemental.
You must have had a lot of fun ordering the art briefs for this adventure.
Oh, I had so much fun. You guys haven't even seen it all yet, because pretty much every piece of art in the adventure is used as a token at some point in this adventure. Yay. You'll see. It actually manages to just like lumber down and doesn't get hit either, but it's basically squeezing and it's totally stuck there. It cannot move. So what do you guys want to do? There's one more ice elemental up here.
Besides, instead of leaping across, can we kind of climb down and climb back up?
So there's safely? Like over here, you look like right between the trains, that's been completely iced over. You saw that coming in. You can like crawl across it. It's super slippery though, and you could fall
Off. Okay. Well,
and from there, if you were to fall off, you would ran into either this square on the north side or this square on the south side of the train, and both of those are right in front of the wheels. You would not have a good time if you fell off.
Do we maybe want to make to sort of tempt them to come to us then?
I figured that Biddle would just start launching fireballs. Whatever you want to do is fine.
Yeah, let's. I'm gonna back off a little bit.
Hey, stand behind me. I try good to idea. Put on my best defensive posture that I can in teddy bear pajamas. I want I'll to activate that. Lunge as well.
You got it.
But I have an idea how we can cross if we need to. We will ask for a dragon bridge.
All right. So, yeah, he is going to fly up because there's enough room for him to do that. Dragons are kind of thin. And he kind of crawls along and is like, I'm helping! And now there's a dragon bridge.
Oh, okay, cool.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Dragon bridge is useful.
So, Biddle, what are you going to do?
Okay, so we're all just hunkered down for like half a minute, right?
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure. So the first thing she's going to do is pull out that wand of cure light wounds that she has. Oh boy, there's still these guys. She's going to start reaching back and healing Renori because she got hit pretty bad.
Uh-huh.
Let me make my check. I do. So 5 points of healing. Uh-huh. And so now she's got a wand in each hand.
Nice. All right. So that ice elemental starts crawling along the ground towards Bralvalar. Is going to attack your dragon bridge. He's like, no, don't do that. And he kind of like dodges to the side a little bit. So basically how it looks is like there's these two train cars. The dragon's body is in between them. And with his hind legs, he's holding the car you're on. His front legs, he's holding the other car. His tail is on the ground on your side. And his head is on the other one. So that you have a literal dragon bridge. And so like he's like rolling around trying to dodge this horrible ice elemental slam. And he does. Because they're both squeezing. And things aren't good for either of them right now.
Oh no.
Are we squeezing too, right? We're hungry. Down.
Oh no, there's plenty of room for you guys. You can stand up, but at the other end of the tunnel, if you're not down on the ground still, you're going to have to make another reflex save.
Okay, Biddle has just been staying down on the ground, so she doesn't have to worry about it trying to heal people.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right, Renori, is there anything you want to do?
Yeah, I will stand up and... No, I won't stand up, that's a lie. I will curse this elemental with misfortune, the one directly in front of us.
Gotcha. How does a 14 do?
It fails. It is misfortuned.
Oh, it's very unfortunate. It has no idea, though. All right, it's gonna try to go and stand up and be like, and try to slam Bellavar twice. First one misses, second one hits.
Or does it?
Or does it?
Misfortune.
Mm. Yes, it does.
Okay.
The first time it exceeds by a little bit, and the second time it hits. So just barely. Belivar is going to take a chunk of damage. 32. He doesn't look like he's down yet, but he definitely looks roughed up now. Life isn't good for the dragon that is basically just being a bridge that's being attacked. 10. Oh, that's a lot of cold damage. I'm so cold, guys. Rangvald, you're up.
Alrighty. Can I, I'll just do it now. I'm going to kind of crouched and laying down. I'm going to, grab my, the new bow. Mm-hmm. I never really said that. I guess my book should be on like a chain or something, but I could also just be putting it away. And then just draw the bow, put the book away, draw the bow and arrow, and kind of get ready for a shot before we get out of this tunnel.
Sounds good. So the tunnel ends abruptly. It took it a few rounds.
That was going to happen.
Ends after your turn. It ends after Biddle. No, it's got till the end of the round. So never mind. You're good. So
I'm not going to have a chance to. Once we get outside, I'm not going to shoot arrows because it's too snowy.
That's true.
So you said the end of the tunnel's coming on up, right?
Yeah, it's after the gold dragon goes, it'll be here.
All right, then I'm staying low.
Okay.
Moving a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to crouch down behind the gold dragon.
Okay. Biddle, you're up.
Let's see. Renoir, are you still hurt?
I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay. She's going to put the Wand of Cure Light Wounds away. And let's see. She's going to use that fireball wand again. But I think I can only get one of them.
Yeah, the other one is super far away.
Yeah, they're just far enough away. So I'm going to get the closer one, because we got some range people, and they don't seem to have any range, so I'm going to get the closer one.
Uh-huh.
So she throws a fireball off way in between those two cars to catch that front one, and hopefully we won't get any flame in us. So we can make a reflex save.
Sure. He rolls a 19.
Ave misfortune.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
He rolls a 16.
Mm. Still enough. Okay, so that is 10, 20... 22, 4, 6, 26 points and half is 13, but he's weak, so that's another... So 20. 19 total.
Oh, 19. Yep, looks good. That's Biddle. Dragon friend is up. He is going to open his mouth and unleash his fire breath, because it's been enough rounds. The dragon hits, and the monster does not pass his reflex save.
Oh, boy.
All right, so that's 10, 20, 21, 22... 32, 33, 34, 35, 36 fire damage to him, which amplifies by another 18 to 46, 52 fire damage. That melts this ice elf.
Yeah.
All right, great.
All right, and so then you hop out of the tunnel at the start of Renori's turn. You guys are all decking. The ice elemental is massive, though, and has to actually try, but it passes. Mm. And so now it's Renori's turn, and I'm going to add the ice elemental in the back to the initiative. Oh, that was a really bad roll for someone with a +8 bonus on initiative.
Good. It'll still go ahead of most of us.
Yeah, right.
Oh, never mind. That's enough to go faster than Renori, too. I forgot how bad you guys had rolled.
Yeah.
So, as it moves forward, it's very clear that it is not affected by the ice on the train at all. Mm-hmm. It just marches forward. 5, 30. How many more does it get? Oh, it's really slow. It can only get to here. So now it is Renori's turn.
It's within range of misfortune.
Hooray!
I have all the fortune. He says in Aquan, so none of you can understand. it rolls a 9.
Okay, it's under misfortune, and I cackle.
Next up, that guy is dead, so it's Rangbald's turn.
Alrighty, I'd like to climb across our dragon bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal movement?
I'm going to say it's difficult terrain, because the dragon is not designed to be climbed across.
5, 10, 20.
Ow! That's 10. My leg!
Sorry! I get to here. Uh-huh. Oh no, I'm underneath a dead guy.
I'll move that for you. Here you go.
But that's all. That's my movement. I'm slow.
Orin, you're up.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then I'm going to power attack Battle Strike.
So you get to hear. He says, stay there. Don't move.
Okay.
Listen.
Who says that?
Dragon.
The dragon says that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll listen to Dragon Friend.
Okay. He's basically asking you to delay.
I will delay.
All right. Next is Biddle's turn.
Okay. Biddle wants to get up there too, so she's going to... We're outside, right?
Yes, you are.
What does the terrain around look like? Around outside the train?
Like a forest.
Like a forest? So there's like fallen trees and things?
Absolutely.
Cool. And would you say that a projectile the size of a fallen tree would be kind of like a siege weapon?
Yeah, kind
of. Great. She's going to use telekinetic blast to grab one that's near the side of the train and just, like, haul it up on this and try to whack him with it.
Sure.
Oh boy, oh boy.
As long as it weighs, you know, 900 pounds or less, it shouldn't be a problem. Yeah,
that's fine. No, you're good.
Fantastic. All right, so this is... Oh, I should roll the hit. Very nice. So 27 to hit?
That is going to hit.
Fantastic. And we're looking at... Ooh, new damage is so pretty. 20, 30, 38 points of damage.
That hits and does some damage, but not all that seems to go through.
Well, sure. Magical bludgeoning if it makes a difference, but I don't think it does. And then her move action, does she have to stand up or can she just start moving?
You would have to, you could probably just start moving.
Okay. So that should be 15, 20, 25, 30. And she moves all the way up to it and shakes her little, peppermint fist at it.
The dragon lets go of the train and it buckles its back a little bit, so Orin slides like falls forward, landing on its neck, and then slides like on its shoulder hunches. Orin's now mounted on Belovar.
Okay,
so you can now fly the dragon. Go ahead, I have said to you.
Yay. All right, so let's get the dragon close enough to do some damage.
Go for it. It's assigned to you. You can move the token.
Okay. We'll move this close, and I don't know what the dragon wants to do, and I'm going to smack it with my greatsword when I get close.
He yells, my fire breath needs to recharge. What do you want me to do?
Bite it. Bite has reach, right?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Bites it. Wouldn't he have to be closer for you to hit him with a sword, though?
I have lunge.
Plunging.
Oh, gosh. The strategy. He snaps out at the ice elemental and actually barely manages to hit it with your own attack as a distraction, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm only saying that because he literally rolled the attack, the DC on the number. Mm-hmm. It was not a resounding hit like what you guys have been hit by. So how much damage do you do, Perrin?
I rolled a 22 to hit. What does the dragon hit with?
He hits a 24. So the 22 is going to miss.
Okay, the 24 hits?
Yes.
Okay, what's the damage on the dragon bite?
He does 21 points of damage to it.
Okay.
All right.
Used by the question.
Sounds good. You were not ready for this. Also, you're riding him bareback with no saddle. Right. Going about 200 feet around every 6 seconds. It's very scary. He's going to go.
That's correction. I'm a back bear, not a bareback.
Yeah.
You're a bareback riding bareback. You're a back bear riding bareback. There we go. He's going to start attacking Biddle.
Bring it.
So, my good friend Biddle, does a 32 hit you?
Yes, armor class 24.
All right, the other one's a 35.
Fun. Oh,
I mean, this is what you wanted, right? You wanted to take all the damage to your friends.
I do. I'm doing my job.
He's just cutting out the middleman.
Uh-huh.
So, your physical damage that you take is going to be... 23.
All right, the first attack misses, so there's no cold.
Well, there's cold damage. That's right. When it's a brighter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So then the second attack hits, so I got to roll the damage for that.
Yep.
So
this one will definitely make it through.
So 28 damage, and then assuming that hits, another 5 cold.
Yep.
And you need to give me a fortitude save now that you're taking cold damage.
Yep. Let's see. I rolled a 3, so that's only 18.
You are staggered.
Oh no.
An 18 is still staggered. Oh no.
Uh-huh. You can do knowledge planes on this if you guys are ready. It's going to be Renori's turn, but before that happens, special event. You're traveling, the forest gives way, and you're traveling straight through the countryside with nothing strange happening, except the snowstorm. So nothing bad happens this round.
Oh. Cool.
Renori, you're up.
Oh, okay. Interesting. No, lost my character. I will... Misfortuned already.
Uh-huh.
I think I will just shoot an evil eye at it and get a penalty to attack rolls.
Okay.
CC 18 will save, roll twice, take the worst. Fun times.
Oh, the first one was a nat 20. You jerk. That's only a 19.
Okay, well, it's so affected, I cackle, and there you go.
Rangvald, you're up.
Alright, I'll step to this side of Biddle, to the right, so I'm not in between Orin's line of sight with his lunging. Mm-hmm. And I will do a swing. I'll ignite the book on fire and do a swing with that.
According to Odin, the only good book is a burning book, not a burning book.
No, that's not
book,
true.
A burning book.
Be careful. 26.
That hits.
All right, so it does 5 points of fire damage and 14 bludgeoning damage.
You think that's more effective than you thought, but the 14 doesn't seem super effective, but you do chip a little bit of ice.
Just melting it, just laying the red-hot iron book against the ice elemental's skin. It's like, psh,
true.
Melting in.
Your turn.
All right. This thing's still up in my face. That's no good. We're in the countryside. Are there any, like, boulders or anything nearby?
Nope. It is just snow.
Oh, no.
Of course, you could pick up some of the ice shards from its fallen friends and hurl their corpses at it. how dark and macabre are you looking to be, Vanessa?
That sounds super horrible, but I'm certainly going to do that.
We are corrupting this poor bear.
Let's see, it's a 23. It's only a 19 because it's in
That's
combat.
That's going to be a miss. You feel really icky about throwing a corpse at this monster, so it's not great.
Yeah. I just fling ice pieces and snow at it. Bad thing.
Orin, you are up.
All right.
The dragon says, my fire breath should be back soon.
Okay. I'm going to hang off of its neck when it goes in for the next bite to get in my melee strikes.
Sure. Are you going to do the ride check so that you both can attack? You have to do the guide with your knees. Oh, no, I guess he's intelligent. You wouldn't need to.
Yeah. I'm hanging on for good luck. He's right. On his own.
He lunges in to bite and misses. How about you?
All right, let's see. Okay, that is a 24.
That hits.
Hey.
He goes, ow, my ice is so hard. I think I tripped the tooth.
All right, and that would have been a crit, but it's not.
No, I'm sorry. It's an element.
Great. So, the first attack is 30 damage.
Ow!
And the second attack is 26 damage.
Slightly less ow. Next up is top of the round. Let's see what bad thing happens to you guys this time. The countryside gives way and another tunnel appears on the horizon. Everybody needs to give me a reflex save except for Orin, because they can just kind of fly out of the way.
I'm still laying down.
Then you don't have to roll either. It's just Ragnvald and Biddle.
Alright.
19 on die for 29.
You're good.
I might die.
Don't die. Please don't die.
I roll badly here.
Don't do it.
I rolled badly.
How bad are we talking?
I got an 8.
Oh, that's really bad. If it makes you feel better, he also rolled an 8.
Hey!
So you guys can be splattered together, I guess.
Don't be splattered.
Let's find out. 1, 2.
So much damage. Four.
Or 5, 6.
Seven, I don't think it's possible to survive this.
Yeah, I have no idea how this is going to work.
In harm's way?
Do you want to take all this? Can you survive that?
I could probably survive it.
Oh, she flaunts. 10, 20, 30, 40, 52, 55. I'm sorry, guys. I don't have 24 dice. 65.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be another 12 for 77.
Mm-hmm.
80.
Yeah, I'm dead. I'm fully dead now at this point.
98. It's 100 damage on the nose, actually.
Fully dead.
Biddle, so
100% dead.
For the record, so, Biddle would have survived. Just
so what happens is like the wall comes in and slams right into the ice elemental, and because the ice elemental is so large, Ragnvald can't see it. So the two of them just go flying off of it, and. You don't see what happens to Ragnvald, but you do see the ice elemental just completely shatter into a heap.
My body is gone.
And Rangvald's body goes with it?
Yeah. As that happens, don't you guys worry. The snowstorm abates as the elder elemental crumbles into shards of mundane ice, its frigid form scattered by the barreling charge of the Yuletide Express. Visibly ahead of the Yuletide Express in the distance is a silhouette of a hairy humanoid with cloven hooves and goat-like horns, a massive bag slung across its chest. It defiantly stands before the train and braces itself, clawed hands outstretched as if to catch a schoolyard ball. All at once, the Yuletide Express slams into the figure, steel wheels screaming as they screech screech across the track. The train seems unabated at first, but suddenly the train lurches as it begins to slow. Then with a righty mighty roar, the assailant lifts the Yuletide Express into the air and hurls the train off its tracks, sending the train and all of its inhabitants and all the people atop it crashing down into a nearby hill with a sickening crunch.
Oh, jeez.
That seems bad.
Some time has passed. The world seems to spin around the four of you as your consciousness slowly returns, stars twinkling overhead in a clear sky. Ash, blood, and coal coats the ground around you, painting the pristine snow grisly shades of rust brown and black. In the distance, the smoking wreckage of the Yuletide Express is visible. Jason, you have 2 points of wisdom drain and all the delightful penalties that Orm had when he took his.
Right, was that just... I mean, it was... just being a little bit less...
Yeah, your personality is scrambled.
Yeah, my personality is scrambled.
Although, give me a survival check if any of you are trained in survival. Or Orm, even if you're untrained. Orm, do it.
Huzzah!
4.
24.
It is snowing lightly now instead of coming down hard. You imagine you've probably been out for a few hours.
Oh, no.
Owie. I hit the wall. The wall hit me.
Are you okay?
I have the worst headache.
Biddle looks over his body with a heal check of 7 and tries to figure out if he's hurt.
Similar to when Orn reappeared in the bedroom, he does not appear to be hurt.
Does he have all his equipment?
Yes.
Okay.
Unlike Orn.
Biddle gives him a non-magical hug.
Thanks, Biddle.
It's okay.
We need to really rush towards that train car because there were a whole bunch of kids inside.
Biddle freaks out and immediately beelines.
All right, so you get over there. Give me a perception check.
Ooh, nat 20 for a
32. Ooh, I got a 29.
Nice. The wreckage is roughly 600 feet from you, and the snow is especially deep. You take about 10 minutes searching through and realize that Budson, the youths, and Belivar are nowhere to be seen.
Oh, no.
You also find the trashed remains of what you assume is YEU-3535. He appears to have been destroyed by something with horrible claws and completely dismantled.
No.
With your 35, you actually find something in the rubble. It's a book with a Christmas motif, but looks like it's for food.
A recipe?
Yeah.
How to make delicious cookies.
Do you pick her up? You pick her up and open the door, and a little woman on the front of it starts talking to you. Oh, good gracious! It was horrible! Horrible!
Hello, wreckage. Book?
Oh, my name is not Book. It's Estros. I am a master chef.
Estros? Well, they call me Bear, even though my name's Biddle, so you know.
Oh, do not call me Book. I am an artist.
Okay, artist Book. It looks like you're a cookbook.
I am. I am a book of marvelous recipes.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
While you were laying here buried in snow, did you see a bunch of children and an old gnome?
I saw horrifying things. They were large. They were hairy. Some of them looked like old women. Not like me. I am beautiful, darling. But they carried them off. It was something terrible. It looked like the dark old one of Legends Yore. They took him down the tracks. But where could they possibly have gone?
I don't know. That's why I was asking you. But at least we know something.
Which direction?
Down the track. She kind of gestures, but like she moves all the way around because she's not sure where you're holding her in orientation. Turn me around, boy. Turn me around.
Okay, I'm not a boy, but okay.
That's boy.
She just gets frustrated at the book and just hands it fully to Ringwald, who likes books.
Sure, yes.
Point to me. Point to my cover. Hurry, boy.
Just I'm pointing towards the direction we were going.
Yes, down that way. Down the tracks.
Okay. Well, let's go.
This kind of looks like the Sugar Drop Forest, which means that would be the Crindle Works over in that direction. Maybe a mile or two.
Okay. That's where we have to go.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ringwald, can you hit people with that book?
Would that make them less hungry? I am for cooking. I am not for blood.
It's okay. I can hold this cookbook in one hand and the Holy Book of Odin in the other. It's okay. Hit people with that.
You better not hit people with it. I am only for making the most delicious of recipes.
Our artist book, do you know how to make cookies that look like people?
Oh, you mean the tarts?
The tarts.
No, I cannot do that. I can make food, though, just not that.
Oh, okay.
You would... Let me be more correct. It is the caster who does it, not I. I just have the recipe in my book. But it is a very difficult recipe, especially for wee ones such as yourselves.
Okay.
You feel like holding the book that you know more about cooking than you actually did before, Rangvald.
Okay, which is a lot. I mean, I don't know anything about cooking, so any more... is a lot more.
She's like, I could make you a nice dinner, but that is about it.
But wait. Doesn't our witch friend know how to cook for reals?
Perhaps.
Oh yeah, Renori, would you like to take a look at this cookbook?
Sure.
I'll hand it to her.
Sure. Give me a spellcraft check, Renori.
Here I go. Mm-hmm. 31.
Estros is a book of marvelous recipes. It is a caster level 11th magical book. Anybody holding it gets a +4 competence bonus on all checks, on all profession cook checks, as long as they consult the book. As long as if you're trained in the skill. So actually, like, these ideas were in your head, but you didn't know how to use them. For you, it would apply to your bakery skill instead.
Yeah.
Once per day, you can use the cookbook to enhance any meal that you are cooking. When used this way, it transforms the Monday meal into a hero's feast, as if caster level 11.
Ooh.
Yes. I am magnificent.
So what you're saying is we should have a complete breakfast before we go into the forest?
Oh, no. I don't know about that. It depends on how far away where you want to be is. The feast lasts a while, but it is not forever. It's only about 12 hours or so. You'll get hungry again eventually.
Let's move on.
Excellent.
Children are in danger.
They are. They're very much in danger. Perhaps that dragon, too.
That dragon is a child. Counts as child. Dragon.
Yeah. And the gnome, I guess, is probably in danger as well. I
mean, anything under 2 feet tall also counts as children.
Oh, my.
All it's right. March. I'm
gonna switch. Scene of the crime. All right, let's see if this works. So if I click here, you guys should come automatically to my screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did it work?
Nope. Shift, click, and hold. There you go.
There you go.
There we are.
All right, there you are. So as you get here, this entire place looks absolutely trashed. If you scroll around, everything is revealed to you. You can see all the trash. There are Christmas trees that look ratted and just completely burned and somewhat frigid in the snow. There's a very, very large one in the center of town. And things are not great.
How far away is this from the wreckage?
Of the train? This is about a mile away.
Okay, so we've been marching for some time now.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Ruined buildings and salted earth are all that remains of what was once a lively village. Its cobblestone streets scorched by fire and caked in dried blood. Torn and tattered trappings of Yuletide decorations litter the ground, leaving the area feeling cold and forlorn. The only things still standing in town are the haggard, burnt remains of several once decorated Yuletide coniferous trees placed at regular intervals around the square, as well as one larger tree at the center of a turnabout. In the distance, high upon a nearby hill, stands a wondrous building whose windows are warmly lit.
I suppose we should look for survivors here before moving on.
All right. I've definitely reached down, put my finger into the dirt, taste it, and go, yes, this earth has definitely been salted.
Yes. It is very, very
I died by getting hit in the face with a tunnel. I'm a little off right now.
I died by getting my head hit by a tunnel. Now, there's something wonderful about that. I feel like I wrote this adventure well, if that is the sentence that comes out of it. All right, so what are you guys going to do? Are you going to stay all the way in back? Or are you going to march up forward?
I'm going to move up to there.
Okay.
I go to... definitely going to go up and investigate and see if there are any survivors and start looking around. Clockwise is the best wise, so Biddle's going to take a left and start going around this burned giant Yuletide tree, looking in each building, looking for anyone.
Very nice. All right. So you start looking around. Give me your perception check.
Okay, I got a 29.
Oh, right. So you're checking right where you are in the map, sort of like right on the road going into the turnabout?
Oh, I'm just describing like what I'm doing as I go. I don't know how far I get, but like she'd go up to the first building and peek inside, and then she'd go up to the next one.
Give me a perception check, everybody.
All right, I'll make one too. Ooh, 34.
How about Orange?
22.
How about Renori?
9.
hey, even Renori with a 9, it turns out that when a giant Christmas tree starts moving on its own, you tend to notice it. So let me get you a nice good picture of this. The Christmas tree in the center starts moving very, very happily. I gotta select it. That's right. There you go. It starts moving, and as it does, it is going to raise its hands up, and several smaller trees across the way animate as well.
Oh no!
Roll for initiative. Of course, I see the word smaller in like the non-rules text, because they're all large creatures.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Oops.
We're getting attacked by killer trees.
Are you upset by this development?
I mean, I'm not happy about it.
Oh, but you're the bearer of Yuletide cheer.
That is true.
You gotta be happy. Oh, look, those Christmas trees, they're not as dead as we thought they were.
Are they Fran?
They have snarling faces and mean green ornament eyes.
So does Biddle when she's trying to scare things.
Bear. Biddle, you're up first. Oh, you better watch out.
Oh, goodness. Okay, let's see. Are any of them within 20 feet of each other? Or 40 feet of each other? Yeah, a couple of them are. She's going to pull out this handy-dandy wand of fireball, because it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And she's going to blast, I think, those last two. I don't think I can get all three.
Okay, I will make some reflex saves.
Yeah, she
first one is 20, the one in the middle. And the one on the far side is only a 8. So that one is going to take...
Fantastic. And I rolled pretty well. So let's see, look. 10, 21, 26, 34 points total. So half would be 17. And hopefully their tree is invulnerable to fire. But if not,
So normally they wouldn't be vulnerable to fire. But these are special trees that are vulnerable to fire.
Fantastic.
I've seen Christmas trees. You so much as get a spark next to them and you gotta get a new trailer.
It's all that pine sap. Well, that was an effective fireball. Ba-boom.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You're a very scary bear.
Biddle turns to Renori and is like, thanks for the toy!
Yeah.
This one lumbers 5, 10, 5, 10... Ornstein.
Look out, they're slowly coming at us. I think we got about 10 minutes before they get here.
Alright, I'm going to go ahead and charge this one with lunge and power attack and battle strike. So it won't be really a charge.
An attack of opportunity against you? Oh, since you're moving through a certain area?
I'm not moving through
a certain area. Oh, no, you're not. You're lunging. There you go.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. So, in fact, I'll take the path to get to here then. And I'm lunging and power attacking and battle strike. Mm-hmm. A 32 to hit it?
A 32 hits it.
Mm-hmm. 38 damage?
Oh, this poor tree. What did it ever do to you?
Tried to eat us, specifically.
I mean, you don't know that it wants to eat you. It might just want to make you ornaments. Ragnvald, okay. You're up.
Can I do a knowledge nature check?
Actually, you can give me a knowledge nature and a knowledge religion. Both are applicable.
Oh, they're the same for me.
I need one of each, please.
34 on the nature, let's say.
Okay.
And then... 26 on the religion.
So for the nature, this is a coniferous treant.
Okay.
It's exactly like an ordinary treant, but it's coniferous.
Coniferous. Terrific.
With that super high number, you are going to get 4 questions about treants and 2 questions about what else it is.
Oh boy. Is it, it seems to be weak to fire. That's correct, right?
It is, but that's not a treant ability. And you know that the fact that these things are flammable is strange.
It is strange. Okay. Are they evil?
Yes.
Terrific. Good to know. Are they afraid of caterpillars?
No.
Okay. That is a reference I shall explain later. because I'm an old man and I used to play games with that only had words in them. They have reach. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a 10-foot reach.
Okay. Let me look at my spell quick here about this, because I think I'm gonna cast a spell at it. Is it have a good touch AC? How's its touch AC?
Their touch AC is pretty garbage.
All right, terrific. And do they have any, like, other strange attacks? Are they going to wrap us in tinsel or something?
Well, you know that these are treants, but they are false frostfallen treants. They are dead trees that have been revived and animated into horrific monstrosities.
Oh, so they're undead, not
plants. Yeah, so they are not plants. They're undead.
Okay.
Biddle just got, like, her eyes lit up.
You know that they are super. They generate supernatural cold. If they hit you, it will freeze. You will not be a happy person. They also have blind sight for living creatures out to a pretty massive range. It's very easy for them to know you're coming. And it seems like the other two are slower because they're not actually treants. They're ordinary animated trees. The one in the center appears to be the actual treant.
Okay, I'm going to cast Holy Javelin at the main treant who in the center here.
Okay.
Conjuring up a shimmering javelin of holy energy.
Okay.
As a spell. Here we go. It is pretty cool. I got like at least a 23 strange touch attack there.
A 23 will touch?
Okay. It takes 6 points of damage.
Okay.
I guess I aimed this holy javelin kind of close to its head, so it now has basically a star up there jammed into it, top of its head, shining brightly. Each time it starts its turn while impaled, it takes another d6 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
They last for several rounds. It's going to be about 3 rounds. Mm-hmm. But it can, if it wants to take a move action, to pull it out with a DC 12 strength check. Okay. Also, it's glowing like a torch.
Nice.
For all to see.
Delightful. Renori, you're up.
I cast a spell, and it creates a spell effect.
Oh no, not spell effects.
Not spell effects. Look out. While it's impaled, it takes a -2 penalty to attack rolls and skill checks.
Good to know.
Dark, creeping, inky blackiness kind of sprouts up from beneath these two.
Ooky!
Give me your grapple checks. I can take them.
Here we go.
You meant haunted wrapping paper, right?
Uh-huh, that's it. 31.
No, I can't take them.
Very nice.
All right, so, you can give me that damage.
Some damage, yeah. 9 points of damage.
All right, this is acid damage, right?
No, it's untyped.
Interesting. All right, next round is going to go to the treant, who is now a prisoner inside your wonderful little area. He's going to try the grapple check to escape.
Okay, so
he rolls a 28.
Trying to double check how much CMD is. That would break free.
All right.
24.
So he goes 10, 20, 30.
Have another 2 points of damage as it starts its turn with a javelin stuck in its face.
Doesn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really wishing you would stop, but it understands. That was Renori's turn. That was his turn. So now it is this guy up in the corner. He is not in an area of bad, and he's got a little boy in front of him that he really thinks that a teddy bear head ornament on his tree would look great. So he's going to go, and he is going to slam.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to shift and strike. I rolled a 37 to hit.
That'll hit.
For 31 points of damage.
It's not a happy monster, but it's going to slam you.
Okay.
Does a 28 hit you?
Yes.
All right. 4 + 1. That's going to be 15 damage, and then you're also going to take some cold. Let's see. It's based on his hit die. All right. That's a lot of cold. You're going to be a very cold child.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a total of 11 points of cold damage.
Ow. Okay.
Next up is Battle.
Oh, goodness. Decisions. Mm-hmm. Orin, you can probably last another round, right?
Yeah, I probably can last another round.
Okay. I'm going to go to, I think... Biddle approaches the mass of writhing, let's say wrapping paper. 1, 2, 6. I think that is within 30 feet. So she's going to approach it, trying to stay close enough to Orin that she can help him if she needs. And she is going to blast a pure ray of Yuletide cheer at that, what was called the main tree, the one that's got the glowing spear out of it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, 18 on die for a touch, so we're up in the 30s for a touch.
That hits.
So many 5s and 6s. Okay, cool. So that is 22, 28, 33 points of positive energy damage.
Ooh.
Ow.
Yeah, take it.
It doesn't like it. You zap a lot of it, and parts of its undead body start falling off. A lot of its needles are on the ground and stuff. It's not looking like a very happy thing. The one in the back is going to go. It's going to try to break the grapple and escape. It rolls a natural one. This is its life now. Lauren, you're up.
All right. So I'm going to take a 5-foot step to be next to my bear friend.
Okay.
And then continue to whack at this tree.
Delightful. With lunge, right?
Yes.
Lunging it up.
So you're going to 5-foot, like, so there's some space between you and the tree is like, oh.
Right. I want to continue this little dance. So that is a 30 to hit.
A 30 will hit.
Okay. And the second hit is a potential crit. Can I crit trees?
Yes. Undead. Yeah, I think
undead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chop there. It down.
They're not Uvib or incorporeal undead or elemental.
And then it's a 32 to confirm the crit.
That confirms.
Okay. So the first hit...
The boy has chopped a tree with his candy cane sword.
is 29 damage.
Okay.
Is there any more tree left? Or do I need to roll the second hit?
Okay. Roll that critical.
Okay.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
That is 62 damage.
That tree falls over, felled with a single blow. As it hits the ground, it reverts from being a frostfallen treant back into a ordinary tree.
Okay, and then I want to critical. Oh, there's nothing to hit.
Yeah.
Ringvald, you're up.
Okay.
Give me that continuous damage.
Oh, yeah. Well, it starts, it's technically on its turn, but it goes right after me, so I'll give it to you now.
It's actually not. It's Minori's turn, and then it's it.
Well, I rolled a 4. You can have a 4 for now.
Oh, gosh.
It's not much, but it's not nothing. I'll just get on up in there, maybe. No, here it is. Book. Drop book to the ground. Withdraw short bow. Holy arrow. Let's to it. To the main treant.
Are you going
to
bane, too?
I can't bane anything but my book.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But still, here's a longbow attack. Alrighty. That's not too bad, maybe. Where's my weapon? Why is that on here? Oh, here's plus 8. 20 total.
That is going to miss.
Oh, no!
And... you see that the arrow is stuck in its branches. It doesn't appear to have been destroyed by the mist.
Oh, great. I can get it back.
Next round goes to Renori.
Okay, let's have these tentacles do a thing. That's a 35.
Okay, that continues to maintain its grapple on the one in the area.
For 10 points of damage.
It's a very unhappy tree. You know that Bob Ross painter who paints all the bushes? He'd be appalled to see what you're doing and how unhappy you're making this tree.
That'll fib to you, so watch out.
Just a little too far away.
Yeah,
so
it's 35 feet away right now.
I will inch a little bit closer, 5-foot step, and then grant it an evil eye towards its attack rolls.
This isn't the mind-affecting one, is it?
Nope.
Okay. It rolls a nat 20, so one round.
One round, and I cack.
Oh, gosh. It's turn.
I love witches.
One. Let's hope that was worth it. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. It lumbers over you, and it just kind of slams its body into you. Renori.
It lumbers over.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, it was totally worth it. No! With a minus 4 penalty, that's only a 16.
16 will hit me.
I tried, man. I did what I could for you. This is all on the witch class now.
Is it also with the penalty from the javelin?
Minus 2 from the holy javelin. Thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
Yay.
Hooray for holy javelin.
Did it miss you now?
It sure did.
Oh, gosh. It's like, Vittle, you're up.
Fantastic. In this case, I'm going to blast it with another ranged touch. That's an 18 on die, plus 13 is a bunch.
That hits.
Okay, let's see. We're looking at 29 points of positive energy damage as she channels the power of Yule into it.
It looks like if you breathed on it, it would die.
Well, she's going to walk up to it and shake her little furry fist at it, her little candy cane fist now.
It's going to attack of opportunity you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Is that fine?
Yeah, bring it on, tree.
All right, so that's a minus 4 penalty from your curse of horrible. It's only a 19.
19 is not going to hit, no.
Yes. This guy up in the corner is like, hey, I don't want to be in this anymore. It rolls a 3 on its die, though, so it doesn't have much choice. Orin, you're up.
All right. I'm going to rush up next to Biddle and lunge to attack the tree.
Down with the tree.
Mm-hmm. All right, that is a 28 to hit the tree.
That hits the tree real good.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's only 30 damage.
Well, after Biddle's attack, it only had one hit point left.
Oh!
So yay. You chop this tree down, and with its animating force destroyed, the other tree reverts into an ordinary tree. You've done it! With one fell swoop, you've chopped down two trees.
Woohoo! Good job! Right.
Evil Yule trees. This Krampus.
Darn you, trees.
Yeah, yeah.
You gave our friend splinters.
And they're owie. All right, so this pathway that you see right in front of you continues on up to the top of the hill towards a building that you can only imagine is the actual Crindle Works, like that the entire plane is named after. There are warm, cheery building fires in the window, and it's outside that seems like the road goes into a little courtyard before going into the actual house. Ooh. That brings us to the end of this episode of Season's Beatings, a Yuletide Terror actual play podcast. From the cast here at Season's Beatings, harrowing holidays to all, and to all a good fright. If you're interested in reading or running the adventure we're playing, Yuletide Terror, you can find the perfect place to pick up your own copy at everymangaming.com/Yuletide-terror. This actual play podcast wouldn't have been possible without the hard work of four outstanding artists, Jacob Blackman, Liz Quartz, Eric Frankhaus, and Mew. Jacob Blackman is a lightning-fast illustrator who drew all of the art in both Yuletide Terror and for all the tokens that viewers of the actual play video have been seeing. Jacob is always taking commissions, so shoot him an email at commissionprodigyduck.com. Liz Quartz is a stellar illustrator, cartographer, and coding genius who created all of the battle mats for the Yuletide Terror adventure. She takes commissions for hand-drawn character illustrations, cartographic work, and nifty bits of physical artwork, which you can commission through her Facebook page at facebook.com/RPGGeek. Eric Frankhaus is a fantastic illustrator, cartographer, and world-building consultant. He drew the Holly Glen map that you saw in episode 1 of Season's Beatings, which is also featured in the Yuletide Terror adventure. Eric does phenomenal work, and I can't recommend checking him out at ericfrankhaus.artstation.com enough. That's Eric with a K, mind you. The entire cast wants to extend a special thank you to Mew of YouTube fame. Mew is a dark music artist, and all of the spooky sounds you've heard throughout Season's Beatings are used with their blessing. If you like the music in Season's Beatings, maybe you want to go and use some of it for your own campaigns, then please go check out Mew's YouTube page at youtube.com/Mewji. That's M-Y-U-U-J-I.